Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read. And the theme this morning, Jesus does all things well. Please be seated. Yes, Jesus does all things well. Now I know, parents, you really pray that your children will do all things well. And I know that your parents prayed that you would do all things well. We like to think that those who lead us will do all things well. We like to think that those in the church will faithfully follow God's word and do all things well. But you see, your children and you yourself and this pastor, we all have one serious flaw, one serious problem, and therefore we cannot do all things well. And the issue that we have, the serious disease that we have, is sin. We sinners cannot do all things well. We poor, miserable sinners, as you just confessed and as you were just forgiven, we realize that we transgress against God's law. We place ourselves above Him. We do not honor His name. We do not come to hear His preached word. And not only that, we don't even believe it at times. We don't honor our father and our mother and those placed in authority over us. We murder. We commit sexual sins. We steal. We bear false witness against our neighbor by spreading gossip that is not true, but we make it the truth. Therefore, we do not put the best construction on everything. And yes, we covet everything. We covet everything that is our neighbor's. We truly are poor, miserable sinners. We cannot do all things well. So therefore, God sends His Son. God sends His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to do those things that we cannot do. Ultimately, He sends His Son to do something that we can never imagine, die upon a cross. This morning we see that Jesus is in a region that is not Jewish. He's in the Decapolis, or the Decapolis as it's pronounced in the Greek. This is a Greek section of the Middle East, an area just east of the Sea of Galilee that we would know today as Syria. It's Gentile. These people are pagans. They worship other gods. Most of all, they worship themselves. And as you heard last week from the gospel lesson, you heard that Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and He healed a little girl who was possessed by a demon because her mother was faithful. And this mother was also a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician woman who was a pagan. But when she heard the truth of this man, Jesus, she believed. She believed that He could do what either other people were saying about Him. You all remember that famous exchange, yes? Even dogs eat the scraps from their master's table. Woman, you have great faith. Your daughter is healed. Jesus has now left the region of Tyre and Sidon and has traveled across the Jordan River to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. He has gone around Galilee. He doesn't want anything to do with Galilee right now because there's too many issues there. So He's bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, to the pagans. It's really true what Jesus says of Himself. He says that I have come to seek and to save the lost. Not only the Jew, but yes, the Gentile also. You see, the people were hearing. They were believing, and they were telling others, and it started with the demonic who had the demons cast out of him into that herd of pigs, remember? And there in Mark chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us that this demonic went into the Decapolis, and he proclaimed all the great things that Jesus had done for him. One single man proclaiming the gospel, and the people were hearing, and they were believing, and they were telling others. So they bring to Jesus this deaf, mute man, and they beg Jesus to heal him. My dear friends, maybe you have someone in your family who has lost a sense, maybe hearing, or maybe they can't speak. My great-grandparents were deaf. We could not communicate with them unless you knew sign language. I didn't know sign language, and actually, I never knew my great-grandparents. They were killed in a traffic auto accident, a very tragic auto accident, where it not only claimed their lives, but the life of my great-uncle, the life of my great-aunt, and the life of my second cousin. Five at one time. I never had the chance to meet any of them. But my great-grandparents could not communicate unless it was with their fingers, with their hands. People who are hearing impaired, who are mute, they are isolated. They are cut off. And here, even in this pagan society, the people were showing mercy as they bring this deaf, mute man to Jesus. That was very uncommon in this day and age. Showing mercy to your neighbor was a sign of weakness. But here these people were hearing the gospel message. Their hearts were changing. And they were coming to Jesus knowing that what Jesus was doing was from God, because Jesus is God. So Jesus takes this man off privately. He wants to be looking at this man face to face. He wants this man to be looking at his Creator face to face. And what does Jesus do? He takes his fingers and sticks them in the man's ear. Now I know, moms and dads, you always taught your children, never put anything in your ears. Beads, peas, any kind of little toy. I heard today that there's a young man who takes a pencil and sticks it in his ear to clean his ear out. No. Moms and dads, you teach your children not to do that, because you know that it could cause a serious, serious damage to their hearing. But what does Jesus do? He takes his fingers and sticks them in his ears. And not only that, he spits and he touches the man's tongue with his spit. Which one of you would allow me to spit on my finger and to touch your tongue? Probably no one. But here is the Son of God standing before this man. And as Jesus does this, he looks up to heaven and he sighs and he proclaims, "Ephphatha, be opened." Ephphatha, he's telling this man, be healed. And the man hears, and the man can speak plainly, unlike me. Can you imagine the very first words that this poor man had ever heard? Were words that he could not understand. Remember, this Ephphatha is not Greek. It's Aramaic. He has no idea what it means, but he knows that he can now hear and that he can now talk. Therefore, he knows this man standing face to face with him is the man that was there is the same man that the people were talking about. He now knows that this is the Creator, that this is the Messiah. You see, my friends, Jesus comes bringing healing, as you heard in our Old Testament reading today. In the words of the Old Testament, written 700 years before the fact, Jesus is now fulfilling. Even here, in the Decapolis, as he heals this deaf, mute man, Jesus is fulfilling God's holy word. He comes bringing healing. Jesus doesn't need a magic potion. He doesn't need a magic wand. No, he uses his word, his holy and righteous word. It has power. And when Jesus speaks, it is. And there's nothing on this earth that can change his word. There's nothing above this earth that can change his word. And there's nothing below the earth that can change his word. For his word tells us that his word will stand forever. Yes, Jesus heals this man's physical disabilities. But he's also healed a disability that you and I have, that you've just heard about. You see, you and I, we were born in sin. And Jesus here at the cross has taken sin's curse upon himself. And he has taken all of those things that we do each and every day. As we commit sin, they are taken here. Taken there at the cross in AD 33. There on Mount Golgotha, and there when Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished," his word means what he says. It is finished. Your sin is forgiven. Yes, we know that we are not to put things in our ears, and you would never allow another person to put their spit on your tongue. But you see, this man who does this great work is the Son of God. His fingers are different than our fingers. They are the holy, righteous fingers of the Creator. His spit is different than our spit. His spit is the holy, perfect spit of the Son of God. And he uses it. He uses it because he understands that we understand what he is doing. And he uses his fingers and he uses his spit to heal. Our nurses will tell you that you will never, ever take germs and put them into a sterile surgical room. After all, the sterile room will not kill the germs. Rather, the germs will pollute the sterility of the surgical room. You never, ever take a sick person and put them in a room with a healthy person, because the sick person will not catch the healthy person's health. No, it's just the opposite. Dentists will tell you that our mouths are not the most sterile place in the world. That our saliva is not known for its purity or for its cleanliness, as that goes. So it's not a good idea to do these things that Jesus has done. Yet, as you have heard, Jesus heals by doing those things that we would never fathom or even think of. Jesus touches the man's ears, he hears. Jesus touches the man's tongue, and he speaks. My dear friends, you may think that this text has nothing to do with you whatsoever. All but you would be sorely mistaken. You see, the Lord says to us in his holy word, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." You see, the miracle of this gospel lesson is a literal demonstration of these words that David wrote about 700 years or so before. You all remember David, right? You remember what David did? He saw a woman bathing herself in lust. He wanted her. So therefore, he commits adultery with Bathsheba. And then he finds out that she's married. So therefore, since he wants her, he must do something about her husband. So therefore, David conspires and then ensures that Bathsheba's husband is killed. David sins against God. In lust, he commits adultery. And in more lust, he commits murder. And these words from Psalm 51, David writes, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." David wasn't mourning the loss of hearing or the loss of speech. No, David was mourning his sin. But then God uses the mouth. He uses the tongue of a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan comes, and what does Nathan do? He convicts David of his sin. And then he proclaims the good news. The Lord has taken away your sin. The Lord has done the same for each and every one of you. In the waters of your baptism, there at that font for most of you, the Lord came to you and He cleaned out your ears with His word. He gave you faith. He gave you ears to hear. And by opening your eyes, He gave you eyes of faith so that you can now see and believe and hear and then proclaim with your mouth all that He has done for you. And therefore, it is right and proper for you to declare His praise. So the very same Lord, the very same Jesus who spoke to this deaf, mute man and healed him, also speaks to you and to me this morning by proclaiming again His life-giving words, that salvation is yours because of what Jesus has done in His person and in His work. Because He was willing. He was willing, dear friends, to go here so that you wouldn't have to go here. He was willing to shed His most holy and precious blood so that His blood could wash away all your sins. Yet this morning, there is a warning for each and every one of us. Yes, there is always a warning. For that's what the law does. It warns us. It shows us the results of our sins. Don't stick your finger in your ears when people are speaking, especially when they're proclaiming the Word of God. And that's a problem, isn't it? There are even people here today, they don't physically have their fingers like this, but they're not listening. And then there are people who say that they are Christians, but they walk around all day long like this, afraid to speak the Word of God. Repent, dear friends. Repent. Repent and unplug your ears, for they have already been unplugged for you. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what He says to you, that I have come to seek and to save you. And I did it here on the cross. Not for myself. I did it for you. Therefore, open your mouth and proclaim. Do not be afraid of the world. Oh yes, you will be persecuted, just like the county clerk down in Kentucky. But in the end, as she stands strong, on her head will be placed a crown of life. Proclaim the truth of the word, for the word will always stand. Not five judges, no president, no leader can change the word of God. They may think they are, but the word will not change, and it will stand forever. And when you proclaim that word, the word of the Lord will go out, and it will not return to Him void. Therefore, dear friend, yes, repent. Repent and then rejoice. Rejoice that your Savior, Jesus Christ, has come to you, and He comes this morning here at this altar to place into your mouth His body and to give to you His blood to drink for the forgiveness of all your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, for life and salvation. Ephphatha, be opened, be healed. Hear the word of the Lord and believe. Ephphatha, hear that here in this place, the word is proclaimed to you and you hear the words of your Savior today. I forgive you all your sins. I forgive you all your sins. Jesus does all things well. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.